Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It is a Wednesday morning here on KMAN as we get set to talk to our guests here for the hour. Coming up later in the show, we're going to get an update from Manhattan Fire Department Fire Marshal Jake Powell on some holiday fire safety. But as we start the show today, we're focusing on education. It's the first Manhattan-Ogden School Board meeting of the month tonight. And our guests on Zoom here today with us are Dr. Marvin Wade, the superintendent. Good morning, Dr. Wade.
Good morning, Brandon.
And board member Kurt Herman joining us as well. Good morning.
Hey, Brandon. Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Haven't talked to folks in the school board for a while because I think the last school board thing I was on here for was the November 4th one. So it's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
But I know things have really shifted dramatically since I last spoke to school officials about a month ago. Of course, COVID numbers have gone up, and you guys committed, I know, last meeting to staying in the hybrid mode. And I know the discussion comes up at every meeting and probably will again a little bit here tonight. But Dr. Wade, I'll start with you and for some clarification of just the commitment here to stay in hybrid.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon, for that, because I know there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of things shared regarding what we're doing. And what we are doing is what we said we were doing, and that's staying in the hybrid model, that our on-site students are staying in hybrid as long as we can. There's no plan for board action tonight on this issue that I believe the board was pretty clear at the last meeting that administration needs to watch what we have in terms of staffing, keep in contact with our medical community, watch the metrics. And if we reach the point we're no longer able to safely keep the schools open, then we'll have to have a discussion. But in the meantime, you know, we are in hybrid learning for our on-site students.
All right.
Yeah. And I'd like to piggyback on that too, that, we voted back in November, I think it was November, the first meeting in November, and that we were going to stay in hybrid through the end of the winter break and return on January 5th. With our plan is to try and go all in starting on January 5th. But things can change. I mean, we're still monitoring the situation, but we will not be voting on, we're not going to make any changes tonight at our meeting.
And I want to piggyback on that that it's this is not a decision that's made in order to be rigid. I mean, we are watching the situation. We will be looking at our metrics here closely. We do have our medical advisory meeting again tomorrow. We'll talk about what's the condition in the community. You know, what's the staffing numbers? What's the medical capacity? How many people are in the hospital? You know, what's the guidance there? So if there's a need to make a change, we are willing to make a change. But at this point in time, we're not seeing that need. So we are staying the course with the hybrid at this point in time and don't anticipate making a change here in the near future.
I'm really excited to hear or anxious to hear a report from the from our medical advisory group on about a report, but an opinion on the vaccine, because as we know, the vaccines have been shipped and they're anticipating December 15th that they will become available. So kind of what their opinion is on that and how that's going to be distributed.
That brings up an interesting point, Kurt, and maybe this will be a discussion point further down the road, but when there is a vaccine that's approved and it's distributed here locally, would it be the board's decision then maybe at some point to implement a requirement for students to have that before the next school year?
Well, I would assume so. I don't know anybody that would not want to get the vaccine, but you never know in today's world. Somebody may not want to get it, but...
And that's a good conversation, again, with the medical advisory group. We do have a school nurse representative on there. We do have policies in place. So that brings up another one of those points that we need to look at.
Sure. And obviously that's not a decision that's going to be made overnight here. But I know the school districts do require certain shots before kids can go to kindergarten And maybe that would just be another one that would be added to that list. I don't know.
Well, you know, and I just have a little bit of a memory moment here that most people won't remember, but people my age would. But I was probably in second grade, maybe around 1968, 69, somewhere in there. And when the polio vaccine was available, and they bus all of us to the local armory and use a little air gun to give us the shots. That's the old people that have the little, looks like a sand dollar scar on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. That was from that air gun.
Very interesting. Well, be interesting to see. Obviously, there have been districts, and you're not alone here. Districts across the state and across the country are dealing with these same metrics and watching the numbers. I'm curious. Seems for USD 383, it's very much a staffing concern. So if staff goes down, then obviously a change would probably need to be made at some point. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. That in quarantine is one of the factors that really we have to watch closely. That it's not as much the numbers testing positive, it's those people that have contact with individuals who have tested positive that then go in quarantine. And I think the last numbers I saw, this would have been from the week of November 15th to the 21st, so a week before last, you know, we had 342 students in quarantine, and I think it was 72 staff that were quarantined. So that, you know, when we take out 72 staff, that spreads us pretty thin, but we continue to operate. And we, you know, as you were saying, Brandon, that's the conversation with other districts, with other businesses, other entities would be, and the medical community is really getting hit by this as well, that when people get quarantined or they test positive, they're taken out of the workforce, obviously, and that makes it difficult. Now, in our case, we do have some people who, if they are physically capable of working remotely when they're quarantined, we do have them go ahead and work, but it's not always a position where they can work from home.
Right. Well, and I think it's interesting too here, and I have a wife who works in the school district, and you know, and she tested positive for COVID last month, and that's how I ended up getting it as well. But she works around a lot of people, obviously, within the schools, and there, you know, we had to have, they did the contact tracing, had to get a bunch of people quarantined. But I know the masks are being worn in the buildings, and it can still spread that way. The masks don't prevent the spread, they just limit the spread. But as far as social distancing measures in the school building, I guess, how does that work as far as identifying close contact? Because it almost seems like maybe I know the district's very overprotective of everything here, just to make sure that, you know, it's not spreading. But to because those quarantine numbers are so high, it would seem that some people are quarantined and maybe they don't have to. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, maybe. How's that? That I know our school nurses, the Riley County Health Department, the individuals who do the contact tracing, they get on it as quickly as they can, and they are cautious about it. When they, and something they really rely upon that I've heard before, several times in the past, would be for people to be honest about who they've had contact with. And if somebody has symptoms to, you know, and that seems like it's common sense, but people are hesitant that they might not want to miss work, or they might not want to have to be tested and those things. So they really stress how important it is for us to have people be honest with them about who they've had contact with, if they have any symptoms. But they do get on it pretty quickly about, you know, would somebody test positive, who were they around, when were they around them, how long were they around them, how often were they around them. You know, one of the things that had changed here maybe within the last month was, you know, have they had, instead of 15 minutes contiguous time with someone, it's 15 minutes around them in close proximity over a 24-hour period. that can really expand that number of individuals they've had contact with. So they do, you know, reach out to a lot of people, and it does put them on the quarantine list. But one of the things I've heard over and over would be, by us having schools open, and going back to your comment about the social distancing, being in hybrid, keeping the numbers down, spreading the students out, wearing the masks, the sanitizers, having people stay home when they're sick, all of those things really are making a difference. And by having students at school, that does allow us an opportunity to know, to find out how things are going with those students, and to pass that along to Riley County Health when we need to. So kind of a long answer there, but they really do watch it closely, and it seems to be working within the schools.
Okay.
I really have to, you know, compliment the parents and the, you know, all the parents in the community that, because the kids, from the reports I'm getting, the kids are really good about keeping their mask on and social distancing and, you know, washing their hands. And so, you know, they've been teaching them well, and the habits, you know, the good habits are taught at home. And I think that's followed into school, and I think that's helped us a lot.
And we have to continue this, you know, preaching the aspect of the social gatherings. You know, it used to be mass gatherings. Now it's even smaller gatherings that when we've got the holiday season here, there's going to be so many opportunities for people to let their guard down and just, you know, please be vigilant. Please keep at it. And everybody do their part to try to keep us open as long as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so important. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue with USD 3D3, our guests on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.